What is up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I'm a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, your flagship station of the Sacramento Kings. We have another good one for you today. As always, tons of news in the NBA. Some news with DeAndre Ayton and that number one overall pick as well, which I will explain to you how that might affect the Kings and their number two overall pick. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got a good one for you today. Tons of news in the NBA. A crazy NBA Finals game last night. Kevin Durant goes off 43, 13 or 14 rebounds, 7 assists. Carries the Warriors to that win last night. They're up 3-0 going into an elimination game on Friday against the Cavs, which was... I mean, it was enjoyable, man. It was good basketball. That's one thing that's been bugging me a little bit is everyone talking about, I just want to see a close game. I want good games. Well, we've had two of them in this finals. The Warriors won both of them. So really when people say that, and people are still complaining, so when people say they want close games, all they're really saying is they want to see the Warriors lose, which is also fine. But just say that. Go ahead and say that because we have had good basketball. We've had two games that came down, one overtime game and one game that came down to the last minute or so. So I was incredibly impressed and entertained. I thought it was great. Steph Curry, terrible game. Hits a big shot late, though. Klay, bad game. Draymond was solid. LeBron just being LeBron, not up to his... He is measured against his own greatness, which is almost unfair, but that's what happens when you're that good. And he had another hell of a game last night, triple-double, and I think half the game he was playing on a hobbled ankle. He's amazing. He's the greatest of all time. And I'm not here for that argument either because I have no way of quantifying it, but I think he's the best ever. So there you go. But one thing I wanted to get to and how it relates to the Kings and why it was such a positive for the Kings last year, speaking about Kevin Durant hitting that late three to put him up six, is the Kings' performances in crunch time, close games last year. I think they had five or six crunch time win buzzer beaters, is so huge. It's huge because it's something that you don't have to worry about, I guess. No one's questioning whether they can get it done late in games now. You know, in a young team, that's definitely something you would question, something you would not be sure of. And the fact that they have been able to get it done in their first year, I mean, Bogey, De'Aaron, Justin Jackson had one against Memphis, Scal had one. Just the fact that they were not shrinking from the moment as rookies is huge because it's something that sometimes guys never get. Some of the greats never get. I mean, Paul George has terrible numbers when it comes to late game shots, game winning shots. And he's one of the best in the league. He's probably top 10 player in the league. Steph Curry, great in the regular season at doing it. He's been bad in postseason in late game. It's a very specific stat for Steph. I think it's like, you know, with 30 seconds left to take the lead because he did hit a big one last night. But still, just the fact that it's something that the Kings and the young players that they have, you're not worried about that. That's not something you're waiting to see if they can develop. They have it. So that's something that I thought of last night when KD hit that shot, and I just wanted to get that out there because I think there are things you look for, positives you look for in a bad season, and we might oversell them, overdo them a little bit, but I don't think the late-game heroics of the Kings last year is oversold or, you know, trying to find a positive. I think it's real. So wanted to get that out there. Definitely something that I thought about with last night's game. Some news coming out of the NBA. Brian Colangelo resigns. One of the weirdest stories we've seen. Or are we just a prisoner to the moment? Because there have been some other weird stories too. The burner accounts, I think his wife, I think it's come out that his wife was running those accounts. And, you know, whether you find it fair or not, or believe whoever's story is about it, the bottom line is He was basically found guilty in the court of public opinion. And sadly, that's kind of all that matters in the NBA. Because you're not going to get the trust of your players back or your coach. Because these burner accounts were ripping the coaches, ripping the players sometimes, putting out sensitive information. And even if it was his wife or, you know, plausible deniability on his part, this or that, it's, you know, he would just be getting side eye all the time. It's something that was never going to go away and would not work with Philly. Now, it's a crazy story. Interesting. I wonder where they go. David Griffin's available, which would be interesting. David Griffin to the Kings would be pretty interesting also, but that's a whole nother story that probably won't happen because Vivek loves his former Kings players. But if it doesn't work out in the next year for the Kings, you know, Brian Colangelo could be a name on that list. And I understand that it's a toxic name right now, but the thing is, I saw it. It wasn't going to work in Philly, but that doesn't mean it's not going to work anywhere else. The relationship got toxic in Philly. He can get a new start somewhere else. Whether you want that or not, just bottom line is we'll see what happens with Vivek. Maybe they'd have a great year this year and he signs an extension and he's the Kings GM for generations to come. Or what I think is more likely, you're looking for a new GM next year. But that's just my opinion. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, David Griffin, Brian Colangelo, who do they have in the front office right now? I'm blanking on his name, but, you know, the guy that works under Vlade. Jeez, I am blanking on names. I think I was going to combine his name, him and Scott Perry, and call him Brandon Perry. Is it Brandon Smith? I don't know. But there are options moving forward for the Kings, depending on what happens. Like I said, who knows, maybe Vivek is the GM genius that they need, but we will see. So that's another piece of news that, you know, doesn't immediately affect the Kings, but might in the future. And on the other hand, what is with the burner accounts, dude? I'll never understand that. Like, I get it somewhat being, trust me, I'm no Kevin Durant or Brian Colangelo, but people, you know, I put out a podcast. If people don't like what they hear, they'll tell me I'm an idiot and, you know, should jump off a bridge or whatnot, or that I'm the worst. And that's fine. You just have to get over it. I've never felt the need to make a fake Charles Hamilton fan account and go after the guy or something, or tell him that my callers are normal and move on. That was the funniest part, man, was the tweets about, it's a normal caller, guys, move on, find a new slant. Like, that is just the best. That's so good, because that's just vanity. That's just a guy being vain. So anyways, something I'll never understand, but, you know, some people are more sensitive than others, or who knows, whatever. Kind of weird. Anyways, moving on. The next piece of news that came out was DeAndre Ayton worked out for the Phoenix Suns yesterday. And in an interview after his workout, which I believe Josh Jackson and Devin Booker were there to see it. I think a couple other players were there to see it. After the workout, in an interview, he says, I'm going number one. I'm not taking any more workouts. I'm going number one. And you can read it a couple ways, as that's just a confident young man saying he's the best player in the draft and he expects to go number one. Or he's saying, Phoenix has told me they're picking me number one. This is where I'm going to be. So deal with it. Move on. But the way I see it is, yeah, he's going number one. I think he got a promise from Phoenix, or at least a good feeling. I do think he's going number one, period. And so that's something that happened yesterday. And I don't know, how do you guys see it? Do you think it's just a young kid being arrogant and cocky and confident and saying, I'm the guy that's going to be number one overall pick and be playing in Phoenix and, you know, teamed up with Josh Jackson and Devin Booker? Or is it a guy who has been told that he's going to be the pick? I think it is the latter. And I think I said that right. Basically, what I'm saying is I think he was told he's the number one pick, which is interesting because it would have been, you know, my big board for the Kings would be Luka Doncic, who for some reason it seems there's a disconnect between him and the Kings, and then DeAndre Ayton. But it sounds like Ayton won't be there. So then you're looking at guys like Marvin Bagley, Jaren Jackson, Michael Porter. So we'll see. But I just, yeah, I don't know. It was an interesting comment on his part, especially with, 2 weeks? I think we're exactly 2 weeks away. 3 weeks. What's today? I don't even know. From the NBA draft. 2 weeks. Yes, that's it. 21st. Can't wait. By the way, myself and Matt George are going to be doing a draft post show on Sports 1140 KHDK, so be sure to check that out on the 21st, 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. So that should be some good stuff. Definitely got to get a shameless plug in there every once in a while. But Ayton going number one, says he's number one. We will see. A new mock draft came out from ESPN. ESPN's own Jonathan Giovanni, who I think is one of the best when it comes to draft analysis and scouting. He used to run Draft Express, so we're going to go over that coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going over a mock draft here that just came out from ESPN. Now that all the dust has settled, so to speak, that we know that certain underclassmen are staying and others are going, the deadline is passed, so we know the pool of players that are going to be in the NBA draft. And I, you know, maybe I'm a sucker for the moment or a sucker for the draft in general. I like this draft, man. I like it. I like some of the second round, you know, I don't know about second round picks, all of them, but I like that 25 to 45 range. I think there's going to be some good players in there. I like the top of the draft where the Kings are picking. I just think it's a good one. I think it doesn't have great wings. I think it's got a lot of good ones, a lot of serviceable ones, because that's one of the funny things as I go over some of the scouting reports and stuff is they pick these guys apart as if they're being picked to be number one players, which is understandable. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that they can't be great role players. I look at Jared Vanderbilt from Kentucky, 6'8", 215. The guy's built like a tank, can play the three, the four, some small ball five, great defender, definitely lacking offensively. But that doesn't mean there's not a role for him in the NBA. And he might go in that, you know, 30 to 45 range. Someone might fall in love with his defense and pick him earlier than that. But I just, I like some of this later draft class. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I also just love the draft. And by the way, I know I'm going heavy on draft and free agency. I'm just a fiend for it. I love it. This is one of my favorite times of year because of the speculation and the optimism that comes with it for every single team out there. If you guys want to hear about other stuff, if you want me to talk about, you know, whatever you guys want, hit me up on Twitter at CTH415. But unless I hear differently, it's going to be heavy draft, heavy free agency stuff until the draft starts and free agency starts, which means it'll still be more draft and free agency. But I love this stuff. So if you guys feel differently, let me know. I will gladly touch on other subjects, but I'm just a fiend for the draft every single year. Like, as soon as the draft's over, I want to see the next big board. I want to see who the prospects are for 2019 on June 22nd, you know? So that's where I'm at. Let me know if you feel differently. If not, I'm just going to keep doing it because I love it. So here we go. A new draft from Jonathan Giovanni of ESPN, used to run Draft Express, in my opinion, one of the best draft analysts out there, scouts, however you want to put it. So he has a new mock draft out for ESPN. Check it out. And obviously, after what we heard yesterday, he has DeAndre Ayton going number one. And as I said, that's too bad because he was top of my board, however you want to put it, for the Kings. Would love to see him in a Kings uni. I have Luka Doncic one and then Ayton two, but it's too bad. Doesn't look like the Kings will get a shot at him after yesterday's comments and then today's mock draft. But anything can happen. Who knows who the Suns actually take. But right now it does sound like Ayton will go number one. So then at number two, he has Marvin Bagley Jr. again. Something I touched on yesterday. You know, Marvin Bagley looks to be the next in line, basically. But I wouldn't sleep on a guy like Jaren Jackson or Michael Porter Jr. Jaren Jackson is intriguing to me because he is a great defender. And personally, out of my center, I want you have to be able to defend. And that's something DeAndre Ayton lacks, Marvin Bagley lacks right now. Not that they can't get it, but I don't know. If you can, if Jaren Jackson is the next, whatever, DeAndre Jordan, Rudy Gobert, a great defensive center, and can be that sooner than later, I'm intrigued by that. I would want that a lot more than you know, a center who can shoot threes. And Jaren Jackson actually has a emerging offensive game. It's not great, but there are pieces there that you can build upon. Where defensively, I don't know how much. I mean, you can get better, obviously, but a lot of that is feel and IQ, and you're not always guaranteed that can get better. You're not always guaranteed that just spending time in the gym will improve that. So it's just something to look at. And then Michael Porter Jr., again, if you can tell me that the back is not a problem, which I don't think anyone can do that, or that, you know, he won't get injured again, unless you can see into the future, I don't think anyone can do that either. But if I could get that, you know, hypothetical guarantee, he would be the pick. Michael Porter Jr. is incredible. The guy is a monster. He's pretty much exactly what you want in today's NBA. And again, defensively, not quite there yet, but he does have the athleticism and, you know, some of the physical traits to be a great defender. You know, the guy's 6'10", 215. Still probably want him to put on a little bit of weight so he can play some four as well as the three. But, I mean, I like him a lot. But without a medical, you know, guarantee, you can't take him at two, especially when you're the Kings. You know, if it was the Celtics like last year picking at three, where they could kind of take a risk on Jason Tatum, or at least what we thought was a risk, because I don't know why we didn't have him as high as guys like Fultz and Ball. But, you know, if Tatum didn't work out for the Celtics, would that have been the worst thing in the world for them? Would that have set them back that far? No, it wouldn't. But the Kings, you know, taking a risk at number two and it not working out because the guy has a pre-existing injury would be pretty devastating for this franchise. So they have Bagley going to the Kings. That's something that's interesting to me. We'll see what happens draft night or what changes between now and then, but that's kind of where these mocks have stuck so far, is with Bagley to the Kings, which, you know, bottom line, get it right. That's like I've said with the Kings for a while. All that matters at this point is that you get the pick right. I don't care what position you pick. Yes, it would be nice to get a three or a four, a small forward or a power forward, because that is where your need is specifically. But if you take a center, that is fine, as long as it's the right one, as long as you nail the pick. So we'll see. We'll see. I love this stuff, man. This is the best time of year. Something I mentioned yesterday about Denver and that number 14 overall pick, that they would be looking to trade that if they could dump off Kenneth Faried's contract as well, 1 year at, I believe, $13 million. And I said, I was on the fence about it for the Kings, depending on who's there, because the Kings kind of hit this problem last year, is they just had so many young players that they didn't have enough time to develop all of them. Now, in this mock draft, and again, these are just mocks, who knows, but they had Miles Bridges, the small forward out of Michigan State, there at 14 going to Denver. If that's the scenario, that Miles Bridges is there at 14, hell yes, you make that trade. You take on $13 million of 1 year of Kenneth Faried, and you get yourself Miles Bridges, the second, maybe third best small forward in the draft. And I know that's not great or whatever. It's not the top one, but he's definitely the top of the second tier of small forwards, because the small forward position, I think, would be Michael Porter Jr. and Luka Doncic, who are both kind of tweeners. Luka Doncic is going to play a lot of point forward. Michael Porter is kind of tweener between three and four. He can definitely play some three, but again, the back, who knows? But Miles Bridges, if he's there at 14 and that deal is there to be made, that you take on 1 year of Kenneth Faried, and maybe you can do a swap of Amon Shumpert and Kenneth Faried, because they're not a great defensive team. They could definitely use a defensive wing like Amon Shumpert, and maybe they'd just be willing to take on that 1 year, $11 million for Amon Shumpert, because they'd actually get something out of it. Where with Kenneth Faried, he just hasn't really played for him in the last year and a half, 2 years. So that was something that was interesting to me. That is a scenario where I say, absolutely, slam dunk, let's go. Make that trade. Make it happen. So I just wanted to bring that up, because I know I touched on it yesterday about Denver looking to move that 14th pick if they can dump the salary, and that is the scenario where I would absolutely do it, no question. There are scenarios where I wouldn't do it, but Miles Bridges at 14, absolutely, because then you're looking at, you have a guy at small forward, and then potentially, you know, whoever they take it to looks like it's going to be a center. That's two spots you pretty much filled. So I would definitely do it, especially considering the three. The small forward spot is one of their biggest needs. And then here's one, the last one that I wanted to get to. And I was pretty excited because I kind of glossed over this player yesterday. I forgot to mention him as someone who I'm really intrigued by. And I was going to bring him up anyways today because you know how we are on this podcast. I just talk a lot and sometimes I forget to mention things that I want to. But a guy I'm really intrigued about, and I was going to bring him up before I even saw this mock draft where they have him going number 37 to the Kings. Michigan center Moritz Wagner. And yes, I'm going with the German pronunciation. Do you guys want me to just say Wagner? Moritz Wagner? I like Wagner. But Moritz Wagner, the guy is an offensive beast. I mean, his scoring is second to none when it comes to his position. Skilled scoring wise and offensively as much as you'd want out of a guy who's 6'11", you know, 230, 240. And I'm intrigued by him because you can also play him at some four. He can play some power forward. He can play some center. Now, defensively, definitely not there yet. Can he get to serviceable? Sure. But I look at him as what you kind of have expected Scal to become but hasn't. And not to say that you give up on Scal, but Mo Wagner is very intriguing to me, and I was kind of excited to see him mock to the Kings at 37. Because he is, offensively speaking, scoring-wise, he is what you want out of your center or power forward, whatever. He's a stretch four, stretch five, I'll put it that way. And his jumper is legit. The guy is a willing screener, nice around the rim, good passer. It's just the pro. And so you're hearing all this and wondering, well, why is he 37? Because he's a sieve defensively. And now, is that something you can work on? Maybe you can hide him on, you know, the worst offensive player some games. But I'm very, very intrigued by him and what situation he goes to. And I think with the Scal experience not really paying off yet, I do think he could be the guy that you expected Scal to be. Because at the very least, we expected Scal to be, you know, a scoring big. And he hasn't really even shown that yet. Not that he can't, not that it's not there, but right now, Wagner would be very intriguing to me. Very intriguing. Because, I mean, you put him next to Willie Cauley-Stein, let him play some four, he's getting you buckets. And then if you're willing to go, not small because he's a classic big. He's, you know, 6'11", 240. But willing to let him play some five, even though he's not a great defender, he will stretch that offense for you as well. I mean, talk about gravity. You look at a lineup of Bogey, Buddy, De'Aaron, Mo, and then fill in the fifth. I don't really care. Another guy, Garrett Temple, let's say. That's five out right there. That's five guys sitting at the three-point line. And you think De'Aaron with the Rock up top and four guys, two on the wings, two in the corners, like that's room to operate. That's a dunk for De'Aaron every time. So that's something that I would be really intrigued by, and a guy who I'm intrigued by just in general wherever he goes. But I was pretty excited to see him mock to the Kings at 37. So there is that coverage of this latest mock draft by ESPN's Jonathan Giovanni, who, I think is the best. So there you go. Let me know what you think. Do you like these picks like I do? Do you hate them? Do you agree with me on Miles Bridges? That's a big one because I feel very strongly about that. If Miles Bridges is there at 14 and this potential deal is actually on the table, done. No question about it. You make that happen. Do you guys agree with me on that? Do you agree with me on Wagner? Who do you think they take it to, especially with Ayton saying he's going number one and Doncic and the Kings having somewhat of a disconnect. Let me know. Hit me up at CTH415 on Twitter. Want to hear what you guys have to think. And want to hear what you guys want to hear about also, because I'm going to be draft heavy, free agency heavy moving forward. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Stick around. I'm going to come back and touch on one free agent who I have kind of glossed over as well, that the Kings might have an eye on come July 1st. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just finishing up here for this Thursday. So one free agent that I kind of glossed over that would definitely fit the Kings, and especially considering the situation in OKC, is small forward Jerian Grant. He, offensively, he's not a beast, but the thing is with the Kings is, I think you're set offensively. I mean, you're pretty solid offensively. Like, it's, I wouldn't be looking for another 30-point score or anything. And if you are going to find one, he better be good on defense as well. And Jerian Grant is one hell of a defender. He's 6'8", 6'9", can play a lot of different positions. He can play the three. You can move him to the four or five, honestly, in small ball lineups, which, as you know, I'm a big fan of, big proponent of, especially with the way that the league is going. And did I say Jerian? I'm sorry, that's his brother. Jeremy Grant is who I'm talking about. He's 24 years old, 6'9", 220. The guy can play the three, the four, the five in small ball lineups, as I said. Defensive beast. He's a realized Bruno Caboclo, I guess you could say, because, you know, Bruno is all upside and he hasn't really reached any of his potential yet. But Jeremy Grant is a beast and a guy they should look at, and a guy I think they could get for around $8 million a year, that mid-level exception. And I think it would be a great fit with this team. He's a young veteran. That's one of the things that I'm kind of focusing on for the Kings, is young veterans like Aaron Gordon, who, that's my obligatory Aaron Gordon mention. Aaron Gordon to Sacramento, please. But him and Jeremy Grant together, I think would be great. And if you look at Miles Bridges, if they make that deal happen, you know, these are all hypotheticals and all fantasy GM stuff, but I think he would be a solid fit. Now, I would prefer Will Barton, honestly, but Jeremy, now I'm messing myself up with the names. I'm questioning myself every single time. But Jeremy Grant, I think, would be a great fit also. Okay, so there we go. There's our Thursday Locked On Kings. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow. Not sure what we'll do, but I'll tell you what, it's probably going to be a lot of mock draft and free agency stuff, man, because I love it. So come on back tomorrow. Hopefully you will join me, because I will definitely be here. This has been Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.